In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have a change of colour this morning. It was white for that 40-day period from Christmas up till Candlemas on the 2nd of February. And then green is the colour for this period between Epiphany and Lent. And this year, because Easter is early, it's a very short period, because obviously Ash Wednesday is coming up in a couple of days, and then it will be purple. So that change from white to green to purple happens in quick succession. I'm sure you remember that from your confirmation classes or something, where you're given this sort of chart of the seasons of the church's year and the colours that go with them. The colours sometimes, we say, marking the mood of the season: white for the joyful aspects of Christmas and Easter, purple for that more sombre time in Advent and Lent. But there's more to it than that, and I'd like to sort of dig a bit deeper this morning and see how the church's seasons reflect our lives and help to shape our lives as disciples. It is something that certainly in our tradition is considered important, unlike in other Christian traditions. I lived in Scotland, as you know, and it's only in very recent times that in Scotland, for instance, Christmas was a public holiday. Until quite recently, it was just a normal working day, which we find rather difficult to imagine. But in the Reformed tradition, of course, Sunday, the Lord's Day, was, well, it was one Sunday after another, and there was no sort of special significance attached to the various Sundays of the year. But our use of the church seasons has a rather different function. It is there, as I said, to sort of unfold that story, not only of Jesus' earthly ministry, but also of our own Christian discipleship and ministry. We might think, for instance, of that gospel reading that we have just heard, the story of the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountaintop, where he stands with Moses and Elijah and his face shines with the glory of God. The Feast of the Transfiguration is kept in August, so why have we had that reading this morning? Well, it is because it is the last Sunday before Lent. It is a kind of signal that those 40 days that we will be going through leading up to the arrest and trial and crucifixion of Jesus, and then his death and entombment, that there is actually something beyond those that it is working towards, and we're given that sign, the glory of God shining in the face of Jesus. So we know, we have it at the back of our minds, that whatever happens in Lent and Holy Week is going to lead us to that glory. And so if we think of those church seasons and the process that we go through during the church's year, starting at Advent, a sort of gathering together, we know that something big is going to happen, and so we sort of gather around, rather like a crowd, you know, out in the street outside when they know something's going to happen, or perhaps the ones who gather in front of the seat locker just as the hour is about to strike. They know something's going to happen, and we begin to gather around in preparation. And then Christmas, the birth of Jesus, and Epiphany, the readings of the Sundays that we have been going through in these weeks of Epiphany, explore who it is who has been born at Christmas. It's a sort of exploration of that question that Jesus asks the disciples: who do you say that I am? We are given the clues in those Bible readings that we heard on the Sundays of Epiphany: the arrival of the wise men, Jesus' baptism, the wedding feast at Cana, and so on. And then we move then into Lent. a time when opposition begins to build, that the joy we experienced at Christmas gives way, as it often does. You know, we think of perhaps a honeymoon period of a new government or some other important figure, but eventually people start to question and oppose. And that is what is going on during Lent. And it gets really serious, of course, in Holy Week. But then what happens after that? He comes through. The glory shines again. And we have the story of Easter, the new life that comes through the suffering. And then we begin to work through what all that means in those Sundays from Pentecost onward, taking us right through until Advent, and then we start all over again. Someone has compared the Christian year with the process of getting married, and it's quite a good sort of everyday example, if you like. I said Advent was this kind of gathering to find out what's going on, and if you can cast your mind back. We'll be thinking about marriage again next week because it's St. Valentine's Day. But let's just make a start today. There's that time of gathering, okay? In our teenage years, and we perhaps, I don't know, went to dances and all that kind of thing, and you sort of get to meet members of the opposite sex, and you sort of gather, and eventually you perhaps get to know someone well enough. And there's that process of learning, what sort of a person is this? Again, who do you say that I am? It's that kind of period, just like the time, those Sundays of Epiphany, getting to know each other. And then a rather strange, perhaps, comparison, but then it progresses to going steady. It's beginning to get a bit more serious, which is what Lent is all about as well. And then Easter, the big day, the wedding, the big day. And the honeymoon is rather like those readings in the time after Easter, when the full impact of the resurrection hits the disciples. And then after that, of course, marriage, as I tell couples, you know, it's one thing to have your wedding, but then marriage lasts for the rest of your life. And it's not just the big days, but also the everyday things. And that is what is going on then, if you like, in those ordinary Sundays from Pentecost to Advent. So we can match up the cycle of the church's year with that common human experience of getting to know someone, getting married, committing your life to them, and then working that out in daily living. So it is very much a kind of parallel to Christian discipleship. People gather. They may wander into church. They may say, what is it about these Christians? I want to know something more. And so you begin to explore, what is the Christian faith all about? Who is this Jesus that they talk about? And then perhaps there will come the point, as it were, when the penny drops, yes, that does begin to make sense to me. And maybe it, if they're an adult, it may lead to confirmation or even baptism and confirmation. And it is increasingly common these days for adults to be baptized because of the way our society works. So there is that big moment of confirmation or baptism where you make those promises, rather like the promises that you make at a wedding. And the excitement of being a new Christian, a new disciple. But then, how do you work that out? Not just in those big days like the disciples on the mountaintop. They had to come down. If we'd read a bit further in the gospel story, they have to come down and they find that the other disciples had been trying to heal someone and it hadn't worked. So Jesus has to come and sort it out for them. And there are those times in our lives where things don't seem to work out, when it's hard going. But then we need to remember that commitment that we have had, that we have made to Jesus, and our discipleship will help us through. So there is that process then as a Christian, from wondering what it's all about to discovering Jesus, dealing with perhaps doubts and opposition, committing yourself, living it out. And the Christian year is a cycle, because we go round through those different Sundays of the church's year and come back to Advent, when we rediscover all over again what's been going on. Because the Christian discipleship does not end at confirmation or at some other moment when you commit your life to Jesus. It is an ongoing process, an ongoing process of learning in groups together in church or in fellowships, in study groups, but also learning in our daily lives. How are we Christians? What would Jesus do in these situations? And each time we, as it were, go round the circle, we are building on what we have learnt before, what we have experienced before. Just as Advent comes round, Christmas comes round, Epiphany, Easter, Pentecost, and so on. So do not underestimate those changing church seasons, for they reflect our discipleship. And in fact, you could almost say they make sense when they are viewed in the light of our own journey with Christ, our own discipleship as his followers. So we go from the high point on the mountain to the time of Lent, when the going is tough. But we have the memory of the mountain and the glory to carry us through. Amen.